Tonight's message is, it was inspired, you know, by the Lord, but as I was listening to another sermon, and in that sermon we were reading a passage of Scripture, the Lord began pointing something out to me, using that passage of Scripture to illustrate a principle, and it wasn't exactly the way the person was using the Scripture in their sermon. But that doesn't matter because, you know, the Lord can use things to say, look, let me use this as an example and show you some things. But we need to start over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, what's happened is Jesus, he's been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's in the wilderness. And the devil comes and is giving him a hard time and tempting him and so forth. And we pick it up, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, people have debated this passage. You know, what does this mean that the devil, I mean, did the devil really like pick Jesus up and carry him to a high mountain? And if he did, well, how in the world could he show him all the kingdoms of the world? I mean, logistically, that's impossible. I mean, really, you can't, I don't care what mountain you go to, you cannot see all the kingdoms of the world. You understand what I mean? So there's a lot to this that maybe we don't fully understand, but somehow, some way, the devil did this and chose him all of these things. And you know, the devil says, if you'll worship me and just fall down and worship me, you know what? I'll give it all to you. In another place it says, for they've been given unto me. That was really kind of a lie. Because, you know, people talk about how that, you know, Adam committed high treason and handed everything over to the devil. No, he didn't. That's not exactly what that means. All right, think about it this way. If Adam had truly handed everything over to the devil, do you really think things would have been like they were? I mean, don't you think things would have been a little bit worse in this world than what they were? Now, he didn't hand everything over to the devil. And, you know, could teach on that, but I'm not. But Satan did not have control over everything in this world. If he had, a lot of what we read about in Scripture could never have taken place. Because Satan could have said, no, no, this is mine. You can't do that. I don't care who you think you are. So anyway, Satan says, I'll give all this to you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. Well, not too many people talk that way anymore. But we would say something like, get away. Go, leave, be gone. And notice in verse 11, the devil leaveth him. Now, if Jesus had said, get away from here earlier, he'd have left. Jesus said, get thee hence. Go, leave, depart. And the devil leaveth him. See that? Not too complicated, really. Not at all a challenge. Jesus said, go. And Satan left. Okay, now, turn over to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. This doesn't mean that all manner of sickness and disease comes from demons. What this means is that he gave them power over devils. Now, do you think that when he gave them this power, they went out and were powerless? No. He gave them this power, so they went out and they did what they were supposed to do. They cast out devils. Now look over in Luke chapter 10. The events of Luke chapter 10 take place after the events of Matthew chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And then he tells them what he wants them to do. And in verse 17 it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So we see Jesus exercised authority. Look, if you've got authority over Satan, you can tell him to leave. I guarantee you can tell any other devil to leave. Then we see Jesus giving authority to the 12. Then we see Jesus giving authority to the 10. Now look in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, just take a look at one verse, verse 17. Jesus says, now this is after he's been crucified and he's risen from the dead. He says, he and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. See there? These signs shall follow them that believe. So it wasn't just Jesus that did it. It wasn't just, you know, the 12 that did it. It wasn't just the 70 that did it. Now Jesus is saying, okay, look, you got a precedent here. But to take it even further, if you believe in my name, then in my name you shall cast out devils. Now look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And take a look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and he begins talking here about, you know, the different armor. But what we see listed here is what, you know, we've referred to as, you know, the hierarchy of Satan's, you know, rank and file. You know, from the generals down to the privates, or however you want to say it. And he says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, well, we've seen examples of that with the 12 and the 70, but then Jesus takes it further, says, look, it doesn't matter who you are. If you believe in me, then you can do this. You can cast out devils in my name. And he says in verse 12, now you're going to wrestle against the demonic powers. But, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, and you will be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, somebody might say, well, when is the evil day? Okay, let's just say it like this. I don't want to get into a whole lot of, you know, like word studies right now, but every day is an evil day, which means there's not like a certain day of the calendar, month, or what have you. Oh, today's the evil day. Now I can, no, just... you're going to be able to withstand the evil in every day, okay? The attacks of every day. And then he says here that having done all, you know, you're going to be able to stand. And what this is talking about is you not only knock the enemy down, but you stand triumphant. Literally, the image is like a warrior who beats the enemy. And then, like, the enemy's down on the ground, and then the warrior puts his foot on the enemy's neck and stands over him. You know, I've conquered. I've beaten you. Not only did I beat you, but now I am standing. I mean, you can't do anything because of my authority over you. I didn't just knock you down. I didn't just defeat you in battle and walk away. I put my foot on your throat. I'm standing as more than a conqueror, meaning I've conquered, and now I am exercising dominion. So this is a declaration for us. Now look over in Matthew chapter 8. See, Jesus is our example in all of this. It helps to see what the 12 did. It helps to see what the 70 did. It helps to see what, you know, Peter and James and Paul and all the rest of them have done. But Jesus is to be our primary example. Now in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, it's verse 16, it isn't saying, again, it's not saying that all sickness and disease comes from demons. Now, sometimes it does. But the point we want to make here, it says that they just brought a whole lot of people that were possessed with devils, and notice here, and he cast out the spirits with his word. With his word. You know, there are these movies out there which they show people, you know, like exorcisms taking place. Now, I don't like to watch those movies. I mean, they trouble my spirit. Because at times, they are exalting Satan and the powers and the principalities, all that. You know, I don't understand why Christians could ever enjoy watching any of that. It's not right. There's no way Jesus is going to sit down and watch a movie like that. He'd rather actually just go out and do it. Why should I watch the movie? Let's go out there and cast some out. But you know, some of those movies, it shows like, you know, here comes the priest and he takes the holy water and, you know, sprinkles it on the person that's got the devil. And then that devil starts going, ah, ah, tss, you know, like the holy water is tormenting them. Well, okay, fine. But I don't see where Jesus said, sprinkle holy water on people and devils are going to come out. What I see is, in my name. I don't need holy water. I don't need, you know, a crucifix to lay on somebody's head or their chest. I don't need that. What I need is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, knees bow, tongues confess. Not at the sprinkling of water. I don't even know how the water gets holy anyway. From what I understand, I guess, you know, like they pour it out of a faucet, and then the priest says something about it, you know, your holy water. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, a comedian up here. I mean, I really don't know how water from a tap turns holy. It just, you know, a human being, well, anyway. It's the name of Jesus, okay? And Jesus cast them out with his word. Not a bunch of theatrics. He cast them out with his word. Now, this is really important for us because you've got a lot of Christians out there. They're going all about this concept, principle, whatever you want to call it, of spiritual warfare in a way that I don't find in the Bible. I mean, sometimes it's almost like a circus. I don't see that. What I see is Jesus, just come out of him, you unclean spirit. And I see, you know, the apostles in Jesus' name, you know, they're subject to us through thy name. That's the pattern. So that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I'm leading up to something here. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 2. This was the foundation for us to better understand what the Lord showed me over the last couple of days relative to this passage. Now, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 2, but to explain what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 2, Exodus, the Jewish people, they are released out of Egypt. We understand that story. So Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, it's God giving them the Jews giving them the law, and the Jews making the tabernacle. I mean, all the things they did, and you know the way they goofed up the golden calf. They learned all the different laws and the regulations, not just the Ten Commandments, but you know everything else that was involved. And every now and then they had to deal with some issues, you know, like the rebellion of some people, and you know they died, judgment fell, and then there was. You know, when Moses, he struck the rock. Boy, he got in trouble for that one. Well, anyway, Moses, Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, it's like he's standing up and he's giving a speech to the Jewish people because he's going to die. So this is like his closing statement to the Jewish people. He's reminding them of what they've been through. And then he's encouraging them, at the end of Deuteronomy, he is encouraging them to don't give up, continue with your faith in God, hold on to the law, obey, etc., and so on. Well, in the process of this, as he's recounting their journeys and some of the battles they fought, he starts talking about one particular situation where God had given them specific instructions about what to do against a certain king and the land, the region that this king controlled. And that's what we want to look at here tonight. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 24. Rise up. Now this was God giving the instructions to the Jews through Moses. And Moses is reminding them, here's what happened. Rise up, this is what God told him to do. Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And Moses says, I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon king of Heshbon with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink, only I will pass through on my feet. As the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Aroer, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. As I was reading through this passage, the Lord began to speak to me out of this how it relates to us in this church. You know, we've been talking, the Lord has been teaching us, or had been teaching us some on corporate prayer, how important it is, how important and critical it is for us as a congregation to come together and pray. Not simply praying in a spirit, but also the corporate prayer in our known language. And that obviously would include, confessions and so forth. And I'm not going to go back and reteach all that there. Those sermons are available. But it's a critical principle outlined in Scripture, and it's something that the Lord is going to begin moving us into. I don't have a time frame, but these messages that we've been hearing here over the last couple of months, this is preparation. I mean, this is God giving us the instructions and saying, now here's what you're going to be doing, here's what's coming, get ready here. And so this is actually a part of that as well. Now look at this. In verse 24, I want you to take a look at these specific instructions. First, rise up. Second, take your journey. Third, pass over. And here he mentions the river Arnon. Fourth, he tells them to possess the land. And then fifth, he says to contend with Sihon in battle. Now here's what's interesting. The name Sihon, I looked it up, and here's what it means. Striking down, rooting out, wiping out, eradicating, exterminating. The image of a warrior sweeping away all before him. In other words, no mercy. Steal, kill, and destroy. See this? Are you seeing the symbolism in this? And the Lord said symbolically, Sihon is that principality that has been impacting the Miami Valley for who knows how long. Sihon, if you want to call the ruling principality. Now I'm not getting prophet weird on you here. All right, God's using this as imagery, and He's trying to help us to relate to what's been going on here in the Miami Valley. Listen, you go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you're going to find all kinds of what you would call spirit-filled churches that are running 3, 5, 8, 10, 12, 15,000 people. There has never been a genuine spirit-filled church in the Miami Valley that's hit 2,000 people. Never. Never. And yet the population base in the Miami Valley is basically equal to the population base of Metro Tulsa. What's the problem here? What's going on? It's because Sihon has been ruling, if you will, as a principality over this region. And nobody has taken him down. Nobody has taken him down. But what he's been doing, he's been striking down, he's been rooting out, he's been wiping out, he's been eradicating, he's been exterminating, he has been a warrior, taking no prisoners, sweeping away all before him. He's been bringing about destruction. And this imagery is the same thing, whether you want to talk about Tulsa, or Immokalee, or Miami, Florida. You want to talk about Denver? You want, name your region, okay? There's a Sihon that's been involved in those regions. And these instructions are from God to us. Now, in this, we see that God is involved, but the problem is, God gave the instructions. You're the ones that have to rise up. You're the ones that have to take your journey. You're the ones that have to pass over. In other words, God is saying, I am ready to extend my hand, my spiritual presence, my anointing. I am ready to do my part, but you're the ones that are in control down there. You're the ones. See, if Satan was truly in control, there'd be no rising up. If Satan, I mean, they couldn't have done this back then. If Satan was truly, truly in control, the way some people teach. But he's not, and he never has been. However, his influence and his work is undeniable based on what we see in Scripture and what we see recorded about spiritual warfare over there in Ephesians. Now notice this. In verse 24, the first thing he says is rise up. God said this is exactly what he's been sharing with us concerning the cloud is moving. The cloud is rising up. The cloud is moving. The ark, we heard this past Sunday, the ark is moving. The ark is going forward. And the rise up means we can no longer, you know, figuratively continue to sit and just wait for God to do something. God is saying, I'm doing something. I need you to rise up. You know, it's just like when you tell your kids, come on, get up, we got to go. Come on, get up, get in the car, we got to get going, we got to move on. Well, this is what God is saying to us. He's saying, rise up. No longer be comfortable where you are, rise up. And the next thing, he says, take your journey. In other words, what he's saying is you've got to begin moving forward. And somebody might say, well, how in the world do we move forward? What does that mean? For us, for as believers, as Christians, moving forward means that we do move forward, but we do it by way of prayer, by way of worship, by way of confession, by way this progress that we make in the realm of the Spirit. We're going forward in God as he's leading us into what you would call this spiritual battle. And then what he says here in verse 24, to pass over the river Arnon. Now, in the natural, what this is talking about, here they come to this place, this river. Now, I didn't do any research to find out how big was the river Arnon, how wide was the river Arnon. But really, it doesn't matter whether it was, you know, 20 feet or 200 feet or a quarter mile wide. It represented an obstacle. It represented a hindrance. It represented something the people saw in the natural that to some of them, they may have thought, how are we going to do this? The water is too deep. You know, there might be, you know, crocodiles in the water because they had crocodiles, you know, in the Nile River and other places over in there. You know, there might be, I don't know if they have piranha over there or not. Do you understand what I'm getting at? In other words, they see something in the natural that they think may not make it possible for them to go any further. And God is saying, you've got to pass over. In other words, refuse to allow perceived obstacles or hindrances stop you from going forward. Well, I can't do this because, well, I got a job. Yeah, you got a job. And God's not saying quit your job, but he's going to show you how to pass over the perceived obstacle that the job will keep you completely from doing this. Yeah, well, I've got kids. Well, I've got this and I've got that and so forth. And God is saying, look, it doesn't matter what it is that you see in the natural. If you're seeing that and you are perceiving it as a hindrance, as an obstacle, as something you cannot pass over, as something that's going to keep you from doing this, he's saying you're going to have to let me show you how to rise up and pass over this. He doesn't mean eliminate it. Some things may need to be eliminated, but you understand the imagery here. He's saying don't let the river Arnon in your life be perceived as that which you cannot pass over. Do not let these things in your life become the hindrance that keep you from going over and doing what I say. And then he says in verse 24, notice this. He says, I have given into thine hand, you know, the king and his land to possess it. He's given it into our hand. In other words, God was, when I'm going through this, the Lord says, the Miami Valley does not belong to Sihon. The Miami Valley belongs to me, and you're my children, and therefore it belongs to you, my church. This is my land, says the Lord. This is mine. It doesn't belong to Sihon. It doesn't belong to the demons and the devils. No, God didn't create anything to just for the devil to run everything. No, he created this, and even though Adam fell, look at the example of Jesus. The devil said, hey, if you worship me, I'll give it all to you. And it was almost like Jesus is saying, you honestly think that I believe you're in control? Do you honestly believe that I think you run the show? No, I tell you what, you get out of here. I'm going to show you over the next 3.5 years who's actually in charge. And that is exactly what he did. The people, when they saw Jesus doing what he did, they said, we've never seen anybody like this. My goodness, look at the power, the authority that God has given unto a man. This is incredible. Nobody has ever done stuff like this before. Nobody's ever been able to demonstrate this before. And it was Jesus not only demonstrating for humanity what humanity can do in Christ, he's also putting on a show for the devil. I mean, you know, he made a show of them openly, the Bible says. He was letting Satan and all the powers and principalities and the spiritual wickedness, he was letting them know, you can't stop me. You cannot stop a child of God. It doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter how many people you say, we run things, we're in control, it's been handed over to us. Jesus was saying, no, you're a liar. It has not been handed over to you. The authority of creation has always rested with man. That was God's decree. Just because Adam sinned doesn't mean that Adam handed control over to you. It's always been according to the word of God. And Jesus demonstrated that. And when he says, you know, I'm given into thine hand, God is wanting us to know it doesn't matter what kind of sin is going on in this city. You know, here recently, the mayor of Dayton, Ohio, went over to another city to stand in support of a mayor in the other city who is openly homosexual but professes that he's born again and now he's going to run for president. So the mayor of Dayton, Ohio is standing in agreement. The mayor of Dayton, Ohio, the current mayor as of this preaching, this sermon, has marched in the gay pride celebrations in downtown. You know what? We don't take a stand against the mayor of Dayton, Ohio. What we do is we're going after Sihon. That's who we're going after. We're going after the powers, the principalities, these entities. Some people would say the ruling spirits and what have you. But God has given this land into our hand. You know, why is it given into our hand? We're the ones who are here. He hasn't given us Tulsa. He hasn't given us Immokalee. He hasn't given us Detroit. He hasn't given us Nashville, but because we're here, he's given the Miami Valley to us and anybody else who's going to win, any other Christian who's going to engage in this battle. It's not because Grace Christian Center is the best thing going. It's all about who's going to sell out to Jesus. That's what God is looking for. And those are the people that he's given the Miami Valley into their hands. And then he says in verse 24, begin to possess it. Begin to possess it. Sihon has claimed it. And he's told all of his, you know, the demons that are under him, this is ours. This is ours. We're going to control it. There'll never be a church grow to a certain point. We're going to move through religion. We're going to move through sin. We're going to move through what we are going to be in control. However, it's been given into our hands and we're supposed to possess it. How do we possess it? By our words. By what we say, devils, the Miami Valley is not yours. This is the land of Jesus Christ. This is a promised land given to the children of God. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. We're the ones in authority. Just like Jesus dealt with devils over there in the Middle East, we deal with you right here in the Miami Valley. We're the ones in authority. We're the ones in control. We're the ones who are in charge. We're the ones who are washed into blood. We're the ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost. We're the ones who operate by the name of Jesus. You can't stop us. You can't stop us. But bless God, we can stop you. We can deal with you. And then he says, now notice this, the end of verse 24, contend with him in battle. What do we see over there in Ephesians chapter 6? We war not against flesh and blood, but against the hierarchy of the demonic kingdom. Contend with him in battle. How do we contend in battle? By our declarations, by our worship. You understand what I'm saying? By our confessions. That's how we contend. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not natural. They're spiritual. And so therefore, we come together and we're engaged in corporate prayer. We're engaged, what some people would say, in corporate warfare. We can sit in the pews and tear kingdoms down, tear strongholds down. We can sit here and not even break a sweat. Turn on the air conditioning when it gets hot. Turn on the heat when it gets cold. Be all comfy. And we're doing warfare. We're doing it. We're engaging the enemy. We're the ones who are attacking Sihon. And not just for Beaver Creek. I'm talking for this region. When Israel engaged the enemy in war, it wasn't just, you know, there in Heshbon. It wasn't just here. It wasn't just at Jericho. It wasn't just here. It wasn't just there. It was the entire region that God had said is yours. When we're engaged in this, we're not just engaged for Beaver Creek. We're engaged for Beaver Creek and Kettering and Dayton and Xenia and Troy and the list goes on and on. The Miami Valley, all right? The Miami Valley. And every one of those, Sihon, he thinks that he's in charge of the Miami Valley. And then he's got his own little, you know, powers that are assigned to rule over, you know, Dayton and Kettering and Centerville. And, you know, they each have their own little city. You understand what I'm saying? But we're the ones who have the authority to take them on to contend with them. Now continue with this. In verse 25, God says, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." We can make this a confession. God, put the fear of us in the heart of Sihon and every other demonic spirit in this region. You let them know we're here, that this is ours. God, you're the one to put the fear in the heart of Sihon. Father, you put the fear of us in Sihon in this region. And in all of his demons that are under his authority, you put the fear of us. You let them know we're here and we're not going anywhere and we're going to fight this battle and we're going to win. May they tremble. And then turn around and declare, Sihon, you fear us. You ruling principality over the Miami Valley, you are afraid of us. We are not afraid of you. You demons in Kettering and Centerville and Dayton and Jefferson Township and Northmont and Troy and all, just go through. You are afraid of us. You tremble when you think of us. You are afraid of us. You run. You scatter. You're afraid. You're afraid of us. You fear us. We do not fear you. See, that's how we're supposed to be about this. Christians aren't supposed to be afraid of devils. Christians aren't supposed to be afraid of those demons out there, man. You don't want to get them riled up. Excuse me. They're already riled up. And don't want to get them riled up. Jesus didn't seem to have that fear. I mean, wherever he went, if they were there, he'd deal with it. He's in the middle of a sermon. One stands up and says, what do you have to do with us? And Jesus says, come out of him. And then he, goes on with his message. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be afraid of that. Nothing. Listen. If you even think that some kind of a demon is impacting your life in any way, shape, or form, I don't care what it is. If you even think, suspect, consider the possibility that a demon is, I'm not saying possessing you. Hey, you know what? Are you born again? That's right, Brother Martin. Filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen, that's me. Do you realize you have authority over devils? You don't have to go running around find somebody. Oh, please cast the devil off of me. Cast it out of me. What about you? You lying devil. I mean, if you suspect this, deal with it. You can do this. If you think you got a devil that's messing you up in your body, in your mind, whatever it is, get mad. Just stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and I command you to get out of me, leave me, get off me, go. I will not have anything to do with you. In Jesus' name, I'm more than a conqueror. You are under my feet. Now go. And you don't think they'll go? See, you have to believe this. And this is scripture. This is who we are. This is our position here on this earth. We carry on the work that Jesus demonstrated in this example. And in verse 26, look at this. Moses says, I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying. And then he goes through and he says, look, just let us pass through the land. We'll buy water. We'll buy food. All right? Just let us pass through the land. And Sihon, it's like he's saying, ha, ha, ha. not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. You know, he's refusing. I mean, he's passing up an income opportunity for one. But he's wanting to, you know, demonstrate. Remember what Sihon means. Rise, a ruler, a destroyer, a conqueror, and so forth. Well, this is Sihon. Now, Moses knew ahead of time what was going to happen. But he gave Sihon a chance to cooperate. But he knew he wasn't going to cooperate, but he gave him a chance. Okay? You say, well, what's that got to do with what we're doing here? Devil, you've got a choice. You can leave peacefully, you and all your demons from the entire region. You can leave peacefully, you can go. But if you don't, you're going to feel the wrath of God flowing through us against you. We are going to take the weapons of our warfare, and we are going to inflict severe damage to you and everything that you've been planning. So now the choice is yours. Leave now. Go. Go. But if you stay, you need to know we're coming after you. We are coming after you. I've seen movies every now and then where, you know, these action flicks where the good guy, he's on a phone or a radio or something, and he's talking to the bad guy, says, I'm coming after you. Now, some people might think this is silly, but this is God speaking to us. You know, and so we literally, you know, devil, you got a chance. You can leave now. Well, see, we already know he's not going to. Just like Moses knew Sihon wasn't going to cooperate. He knew this, but he gave him a chance. Well, you pick it up in verse 30, and it says, Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appears to they. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I've begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Now, where it says that God hardened his heart, you need to understand, remember the name Sihon and what it means, an eradicator, you know, a warrior, taking no prisoners. Sihon's heart was already hardened. His name describes how he's been living. So it wasn't like Sihon was this really nice guy, and, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, Jews, come on, let's have a picnic. But then all of a sudden, God says, hardened heart, hardened heart. No. That is not what this is saying. This is revealing his heart was hardened to God, and because of that, hey, God let his heart be hardened. It's like in the New Testament where it talks about, you know, God turning people over to a reprobate mind. Well, it's because that's the choice they made. And so here his heart is hardened. And in verse 32, then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. Okay, God is letting us know right now, the Sihon of the Miami Valley is not going to go without a fight. Now, I don't know what that fight means. I don't know what it implies. But what I do know is this. We have been made more than conquerors. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness, etc., and so forth. So this shouldn't be news to us. It shouldn't be news that Sihon is going to come out against us, and he and all his people. What that represents for us is Sihon, the principality, is coming at us, and he's bringing his powers, and he's bringing the spiritual wickedness, and he's bringing, you know, however you want to describe these demons. He's saying, okay, you know, we're going to go after them. They think they're going to come after us. Well, we're going to meet them on the battlefield. Well, what is the battlefield? The battlefield is like the realm of the spirit. It's where we're fighting. And it says here that the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. Now, see, God is involved, but these folks did their part. Okay, we have to do our part. We have to come together corporately. They were all together. It wasn't just Moses out there trying to chase these fellows down. It was the whole bunch of them. All of, you know, the warriors of Israel, if you will. All right, well, we're warriors of Israel, if you want to put it like that. We're warriors of the kingdom. And he says right here, you know, God delivered him before us. We struck him down. God delivered him. It's the same thing today. There's no difference. You know, Jesus has defeated the enemy, but the enemy still fights. We know that. But that victory has been given to us. And so therefore, by virtue of that, God, he's going to deliver Sihon into our hands. Meaning, we will be able, as he says here, to smote him. Him, Sihon, and his sons and all his people. You know, the powers, the spiritual wickedness, the rulers of the darkness, so on and so forth. Whatever he brings, we will be able to smote them. Now, this does not mean that everybody in the Miami Valley is going to be born again. I want to make sure you understand this. We're doing warfare against the demonic powers. We're not doing warfare against the will of people. Okay? That's very clear to keep that in mind. And then it says in verse 34, we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed, and for the purpose of this message, utterly shut down, stopped. We set to running all of the powers and the principalities and the wickedness and the rulers and so forth of every city. We took all his cities. We took Dayton. We took Beaver Creek. We took Fairborn. We took Troy. We took Kettering. We took Centerville. Are you following this? We took the Miami Valley. We took this Israel, if you will. And he says, verse 35, and this is interesting, only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. And the Lord was sharing with me that not one of Sihon's strongholds will be able to stand before you. And along with that, all of the blessings that he has held back and even hidden are going to be released. They're going to be released. Now, whatever that means, blessings, you know, people are going to think, ooh, billions of dollars. Well, you can think money if you want, but whatever that means, everything that the spiritual Sihon over the Miami Valley has been able to hold back from the body of Christ, and not just from us, but from the body of Christ. Because remember, when the Jews went into battle, there are a lot of people that actually didn't fight. They stayed back in the camp. But yet the entire nation of Israel shared in the victory, shared in the blessings, shared in the spoil, shared, well, it says here, you know, we took the cattle, okay? They all shared in the hamburgers. Glory to God. You understand the imagery. And he says, from Aurora, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord God delivered all unto us. That's us right here. That's us right here. In other words, we exercise victory over all these devils that have been impacting this region. We're not going to change the will of people. They can still choose Jesus or reject Jesus. Totally up to them. But we can do severe damage unto the kingdom of darkness. We can do severe damage unto what's been going on. And here, think of it like this, guys. We don't know everything that will end up changing in this region. We really don't know. We don't know how many bars might close down. How many strip clubs might close down. We don't know how many other businesses that shouldn't be in business. Hey, you know, they legalize, they call it, you know, medical marijuana. They say, well, you know, this stuff's been legalized and so forth. Yeah, right. You know, it's only for medical purposes. If you hunt around, I'm telling you, I know this for a fact, if you hunt around, you're going to find a doctor sympathetic to pot who will write you a prescription so you can get it. Well, I say, those places can close down too. Let them go out of business, whatever that means. All I know is this. According to the Word of God, he's given us the ability to do this warfare and to win. To absolutely win. Now, I do know this. One of the results is going to be blindness or darkness or whatever you want to call it. It's going to be removed from a lot of people's eyes, and they will call upon the name of the Lord. They will get born again. Call it revival. Call it whatever you want. That will be one of the results. Doesn't mean that this church is going to become the biggest church in the region. It just means people will call upon the name of the Lord. And if they get into a church, you know, other than this one, that at least it keeps them established on the rock of Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, if that's as far as they go, well, praise God, at least they make it into eternity with the Lord. But we've got to fight this battle. And that's part of what's going to be coming up for us. It's going to be an intensifying of this attack on Sihon when we come together. And I still am getting more clarity from the Lord as far as how that's going to work for us, what's going to take place in our services, and so on and so forth. But he's preparing us now for this, so that when he says, okay, now I want you to do this and I want you to do that, we're not going to be surprised. We're going to say, yep, we knew something was coming, and now here's the first part of it. Glory to God. Listen, this is who we are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been made more than conquerors. Thank you, Jesus.